Hello, I'm Father Ron Shibley, founder and director of the Anglican Internet Church, and I welcome you to this podcast homily for Second Sunday after the Epiphany, celebrating another of the ways in which Jesus shone forth His majesty and glory to the world. Listeners may benefit from the AIC seasonal video series Epiphany, the Manifestation of Christ to the Gentiles, which is presented in three episodes, each linked from the digital library page with the MP3 podcast versions linked from the podcast archive page at www.anglicaninternetchurch.net. The series offers a brief history of the evolution of Epiphany season, Anglican traditions of Epiphany, commentary on the Collect Epistle and Gospel readings for Epiphany Day, and the six Sundays after the Epiphany in the 1928 Book of Common Prayer. The Collect Epistle and Gospel readings for Second Sunday after the Epiphany are discussed in Episode 2. The Epistle reading for Second Sunday after the Epiphany is Romans 12, 6-16, which includes St. Paul's homily on the Christian virtues, especially love and humility. In his first epistle to the Corinthians, St. Paul extolled three primary virtues, faith, hope, and love, or charity, in the King James and Prayer Book text. The virtues which St. Paul discusses would be codified six centuries later into the seven contrary virtues, that is, those seven virtues which are the direct opposite of the seven cardinal sins, also codified in the same era. The seven contrary virtues are humility, kindness, abstinence, chastity, patience, liberality, and diligence. St. Paul encourages readers to understand that whatever they have, it is the result of the sovereign grace of the Father, which is another way of pointing toward the true meaning of our daily bread in the Lord's Prayer. I like the New King James Version's text for the final two verses, but for this podcast homily for Second Sunday after Epiphany, I have added a few more verses which help put the quotation into its proper moral context. The scripture quotation in verse 18, "Vengeance is mine," unquote, is from Leviticus 19, verse 18. "Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peacefully with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord." In the Gospel reading for Second Sunday after the Epiphany, Mark 1, verses 1-11, St. Mark introduces John the Baptist, whose coming was foretold in the prophecy of Malachi 3, verse 1, of the messenger who would prepare the way before the Lord's coming. The book of Malachi is placed last in the Old Testament in the Western Church precisely because of that prophecy. John the Baptist is also known as the last prophet of the Old Testament and by the name John the Forerunner. St. Mark's terse account does not give us a context concerning John. For context, the best sources are the Gospel of St. Luke and St. Matthew. St. Luke's pre-nativity narrative, Luke 1, verses 11-25, informs Christians of the family relationship between John the Baptist and the Blessed Virgin. John's parents were the barren Elizabeth, cousin to the Blessed Virgin Mary, and her elderly husband, Zacharias. Like the Blessed Virgin Mary, Zacharias was visited by the Archangel Gabriel, who told him that his wife would conceive a son and that he would be named John. St. Luke informs us that when Mary, who had also conceived by miraculous means, visited Elizabeth, the unborn fetus of John jumped in Elizabeth's womb when the Blessed Virgin was near. The second source of context regarding John the Baptist is St. Matthew's Gospel. In Matthew 11, verse 14, he wrote that the coming of John fulfilled an Old Testament prophecy concerning the return of Elijah as a hairy man wearing a leather belt. Other prophecies concerning John are the prophecy of Isaiah 40, verse 3, which refers to one who would make the way straight. Zechariah sang about the prospects and expectations for his unborn son in the Benedictus in Luke 1, verse 68 to 79. Thus, John the Baptist, born of Elizabeth, established himself early as a very unconventional sort of man, living a life consistent with the Elijah prophecy, that is, in the wilderness, away from the cities, wearing clothes made of camel skin instead of fine linen, with a leather belt around his waist and crude sandals on his feet, eating whatever food he found in the wild, including locusts and wild honey. He called for the repentance of sinners and baptized them with water in the river Jordan. St. Mark's account tells us in chapter 1, verse 7, that John, when asked if he was the Messiah foretold in prophecy, replied, "There comes one after me who is mightier than I, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to stoop down and loose." The meaning of that statement may be unclear to modern readers. In the Hebrew tradition of the first century, and still among Muslims today, no one of high birth would have touched anyone's sandals, the modern equivalent of shoes, much less stooped to untie the laces. In verse 8, John continued with this announcement, which is also a prediction of future events. I indeed baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. The gospel pericope ends with the appearance of Jesus of Nazareth and his baptism in the Jordan, with the rare simultaneous appearance of all three persons of the Holy Trinity: Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of the Father, incarnate in the person of Jesus of Nazareth. The presence of the Holy Spirit is represented by the dove. In nearly all artistic representations of the baptism, the dove bears a banner with the word spoken by the Father, Ecce Agnus Dei, literally the Lamb of God. The actual words spoken from heaven in verse 11 were, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." The most obvious question raised in this pericope is, why did Jesus, who had not sinned, subject himself to John's form of baptism by water? The answer is twofold. The first answer is that in accepting John's baptism, Jesus shines forth to the world the validity of the message that John the Baptist had been preaching, that a Messiah would come and that repentance was necessary. By this humble act, Jesus validated John's personal ministry of witnessing and seeking repentance among the Jews, and joined to himself the many followers of John. These would form the backbone of much of Jesus' ministry in Galilee. The second answer to the why question is found in Matthew 3, verse 15, in which Jesus says, "Permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Jesus subjected himself to the same ritual ceremony, a symbol of righteousness, in the same way he commanded for all who would follow him. In the Christian faith, baptism with water and the Holy Spirit replaces ritual circumcision as the rite of transition for a new Christian seeking fellowship in the new church. Other AIC resources on topics discussed in this podcast homily for Second Sunday after the Epiphany are available at our website, www.anglicaninternetchurch.net. Seasonal videos and Christian education videos are linked from the digital library page. Bible study videos are linked from the Bible study page, and podcast versions of all three from the podcast archive page. Information about AIC bookstore publications is available through the virtual bookstore link at the bottom of the home page. First, The 12 Days of Christmas, a seasonal video series presented in 12 episodes from the first day of Christmas, December 25th, through the 12th day of Christmas, January 5th, offers a theological theme word or phrase for each day and also seasonal music for each day. There is more on the Christian virtues and their practical application. Love on the first day of Christmas, peace on the third day, compassion on the fourth day, obedience on the fifth, family on the sixth, commandments on the tenth. New Testament Gospels, a multi-episode Bible study video series. The Gospel reading for Second Sunday after the Epiphany, Mark 1, verses 1 to 11, is discussed and illustrated in Episode 7. St. Matthew's version is discussed in Episode 4. St. Luke's discussion of the Annunciations to both Zacharias and the Blessed Virgin is discussed in Episode 12, 13, and 14. And St. John's unique account of John the Baptist and the baptizing of Jesus is discussed and illustrated in Episode 28. The Lives of the Saints. First series, a multi-episode Christian education video series presented in 16 episodes, in which Episode 5 is focused on St. Paul and Episode 7 on St. Mark. The Lord's Prayer, a Christian education video series in 2 episodes, in which the discussion of the daily bread petition is part of Episode 1. The Beliefs of the Anglican Church, an AIC bookstore publication, contains an entry for grace on pages 77 to 78. Layman's Lexicon, another AIC bookstore publication, there are entries for baptism on pages 23 to 25, circumcision on pages 39 to 40, grace on pages 96 to 97, and virtue on pages 234 and 235. And finally, the St. Chrysostom Hymnal, an AIC bookstore publication, including traditional Epiphany hymns and carols, which are not found in the venerable 1940 hymnal or are presented with different tunes. The closing prayer is the Song of Moses and the Song of the Lamb from Revelation 15, verses 3 to 4, used in the Eastern Church, in the rite of baptism, and the collect for Second Sunday after the Epiphany from the 1928 Book of Common Prayer. Great and marvelous are your works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of the saints. Who shall not fear you, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy. For all nations shall come and worship before you, for your judgments have been manifested. Almighty and everlasting God, who dost govern all things in heaven and earth, mercifully hear the supplications of thy people, and grant us thy peace all the days of our life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Until next time, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be merciful to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. Glory be to God for all things. Amen. This program has been a presentation of the Anglican Internet Church. We invite you to visit our website and make use of its resources at www.anglicaninternetchurch.net.